Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 79. Let me open the message with this statement. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. And if we lose Christ over something that's not Christ, we are giving up everything for nothing. Now, I want to repeat that to you. And this is not just a clever statement here. This ought to be the burden of our soul. This ought to be the burden. You know, we see people all the time who just take this lightly. Oh, yeah, whatever. We're going to find this to be so real soon. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. And if we lose Christ, and we know that if we belong to Him, we can't lose Him. But we don't belong to Him if there's a willingness in our heart to lose Him for something that's not Him. And if we do that, we're going to lose everything for nothing in return. Now, with that statement being said, verse 9 right here in Psalm 79, it says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for Thy name's sake." Help us, O God of our salvation. Deliver us and purge away our sins. Would you do that for Thy name's sake, for the glory of Thy name? Verse 13, down at the end of the psalm, it says, "If you do, we Thy people and sheep of Thy pasture will give Thee thanks forever." If you do that, we will give. This is all we can offer to you. If you do that for us, we will thank you forever. We will show forth Thy praise to all generations. We'll tell everybody about it. We'll tell everybody. The title of this message is Sheep of Thy Pasture. I want us to just enjoy the thought of being sheep of His pasture. Now, we just read this psalm, and you heard that this entire psalm is a condemnation against the heathen world and their sin against God and their sin against God's people. But in the midst of all this condemnation, the writer of this psalm, it says under Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph, if you have that under your title. But the word "of" translates "for," a psalm for Asaph. So either Asaph wrote this or it was written for him. Either way, in the midst of all this condemnation of the heathen world, and that means those who don't belong to God. That's what it means. You know, Ephesians 2 says all of us were heathen. We were all outcasts in the world without God, but God. That's what that means. Somebody who is without God. In the midst of condemning all those who are without God of their sin, the writer said right here, God's people shouldn't kid themselves either. While all this condemnation is taking place, God's people are not without sin either. We are not without sin either. You know, we read this and he's saying, look at what they're doing. Do you see what they're doing? Well, God forbid the thought, do you see what we're doing? We're not without sin either. And in verse 8, he said, right in the middle of all that condemnation of them, he said in verse 8, "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." Now, let's read this psalm so we can understand what's being said here. And then let's beg God for Christ and beg God to let us be sheep of his pasture. The heading at the top of my page says that this is the desolation of Jerusalem. And this is when it was destroyed. There was a time whenever Jerusalem was destroyed. And it also says the miseries of the church. That's what it says at the heading of my page. The prayer, the cry of the miseries of the church because of the sin that destroyed everything, desolated everything. And it will. Sin will destroy everything. Sin will creep in and destroy everything. Thank God, Christ overcame sin. Thank God, Christ destroyed the sin of his people, for his people. Sin will destroy everything. Thank God, Christ destroyed sin for his people. Verse 1 says, "O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps." Man will do everything that he can do to destroy God's kingdom and destroy God's worship and destroy God's people. And every child of God has to say, that's me by nature. That's me in my flesh by nature. Verse 2 says, "The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place." You know, mankind thinks that just because God has not dealt judgment to him speedily, man thinks it's not going to come. Just because man sins against God and God does not deal with man immediately, man thinks it's not going to come. But it's coming. In his perfect time, all judgment against sin is going to be executed. But we see things happen and we say the same thing that the writer of this psalm said. How long, Lord, will you allow all this to go on? Verse 10 says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God?" Where's your God? "Let him be known among the heathen in our sight. Let us see you do something. By the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed, let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." Now, it is true, there is a wicked world out there full of wicked sin against God, against God's people. And it grieves and it brings misery to the church of God. It vexes God's people. But the true church of God, the true people of God, know that the sin that is out there in the world, that sin out there is the least of their miseries. It is all out there. There's plenty of it out there. But for the true child of God, his greatest concern is what is right inside here. For the true child of God, there's so much of it out there. There is so much sin out there. But for the true child of God, he becomes just taken with and consumed with what's going on right inside here. All the sin that is right inside here. While we condemn the sin that's out there in the world, our greatest cry is, verse 8, "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low." Remember not against us former iniquities. That means, that actually translates, remember not against us the sins of our ancestors, those who were before us. That's one meaning of it. Don't let their sin be laid on us. And we say the same thing for our children. Lord, don't let our sin ruin them. You know, sin passed along to the third and fourth generation. Lord, please don't let us bring condemnation. They'll bring enough on themselves. But it's there. Man drinks iniquity like water. And that's the other meaning of this right here. Every sin that I have committed up to this point in my life, Lord, verse 8 says, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us. Now, see if this is a blessing to you. The word prevent means go before. That's what it means. He said, let thy tender mercies speedily go before us. Let them get in front of us. We're headed to meet God. It's a rare group of people that really knows that. We're headed to meet God. Every step we take, every day that goes by, but every step we take, we have a given number of steps. We were born with a given number of steps. Every one we take is one less. We're going to meet God. We're headed to meet God. And this is what the writer of the psalm said. Lord, would you let your tender mercy hurry out in front of me? Would you let it get in front of us? Before we go to the judgment throne for all of our sin, would you let mercy get in front of us? For we are brought very low. We are a low and sinful people ourselves. We're a people who need mercy just as much as anybody does. What is mercy? When we say that we need mercy, what does that mean? What is mercy? What does it do? Where does it come from? How does it come to us? There's a song that says, an old song, I love it so much. It says, as poor wretched sinners, no God and no hope, it seemed there was no one to help. But God, in his mercy, salvation supplied, emptied heaven, and came down himself. And a ransom was found. That means a payment. Yes, a ransom was found. Love paid the price. What is love? Scripture says, God is love. God paid the price. As I say this sometimes, it's so amazing to me that God would empty heaven and come down himself. Those who are in great authority send somebody to do their bidding for them. God came down himself. And who paid the price? God did. The scripture says, all the love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ paid the price. So the song says, a ransom was found. Yes, a ransom was found. Love himself paid the price on Calvary's mount. Judgment was met for all that sin that God's people had committed against him. And the law satisfied. The law was satisfied that justice had been served and righteousness had been fulfilled. That's what people are trying to do in all of their good deeds and all of their good religion. They're trying to satisfy the law. That's what they're trying to do. Well, when a ransom was found, judgment was met, and the law was satisfied. And the song goes on to say, mercy was born right there. That's where it came from. That's where it began. It began when a ransom was found. When Christ died, paying the price for the sin of his people, mercy was born. That's when it came to his people. The blood that he shed pleads mercy on their behalf. That blood has gone before them. Our Lord went into the veil, that veil that no man could go into. He went in that veil bringing his own blood. He went in not without blood. He brought his own blood, and that blood pleads mercy for God's people. Mercy for a lifetime of sin. Mercy for a lifetime of ruin. Mercy for a lifetime of being me. It's not good to be me, but it's good to be me in him. Every time I look at me, I see something that's not too good. But every time I see me in him, I see mercy. And I see goodness. I see salvation. So verse 8 says, oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us. Let them get between us and the throne of God, for we are brought very low. Verse 9 says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. What did he say his glory was? What did he himself say his glory was? People talk about the glory of God. What did he say his glory was? He said, it's that I will have mercy. You want to see something glorious? It's that the holy, just, sovereign God would actually have mercy by giving his own blood and paying the price of a wretched sinner like you. You see that, and you've seen glory. He said, I will save my people by hiding them in me while all their judgment comes down on them. I'll take their punishment for them. Call my name Savior, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember not their iniquities. I'm going to speedily put my mercy in front of them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to deliver them. And I'm going to purge away their sins. And I'm going to do it, he said, for my name's sake. That's what I'm going to do for them. Now, doesn't hearing that make you say, verse 13, we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Doesn't that make you say, that sounds so wonderful to me. That sounds too good to be true. Had God not said it, I don't know if I could believe that. It's just too free and too full and too complete. But it is true. God did say it. And it just sounds so wonderful. It's just so restful. It is just so, so restful, so peaceful. If that sounds wonderful to you, there are some people that you know, hearing this is a savor of life unto life. Some, it's a savor of death unto death. It doesn't do anything for them. To some, they look at themselves and they say, I'm really not a sinner, so I don't really need mercy. But if you are, And if hearing this is music to your ears, if His mercy is music to your ears, every time you hear that His mercy starts over brand new every single morning, you ever wake up some mornings and think, man, I messed yesterday up? Brand new every morning. If that is the hope you've been looking for, if your sin is overshadowing every good deed you're trying to do, if you're trying to do good deeds and right your wrongs and sin keeps messing all of them up, I think about what that preacher said that one time. He said, I can't preach, but I sin. I can't pray, but I sin. Do you ever sin when you pray? You ever start to pray and then your mind goes who knows where, thinking about who knows what, and you think, what am I doing? If everything you're trying to do is bringing nothing but misery and desolation to you, and if mercy in His blood has been revealed to you as total redemption, if God has revealed that to you, total redemption, and if hearing that makes you really glad, then you're one of His sheep. We are His sheep. His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. They know Him. They love Him. They desire Him. They need Him. And they follow Him. And if we are His sheep, that is a wonderful thing to be. That is such a wonderful thing to be. Doesn't it sound so nice to just be a sheep of His pasture? Doesn't that sound so nice? One of the lambs in His fold. Having a shepherd who will lead you and feed you and defend you and deliver you and provide everything you need for you. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Look with me at Psalm 80, verse 1. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O shepherd of Israel. Look at Psalm 78. The heading at the top of the page for mine, it says, on this particular one, it says, the story of God's wrath against the disobedient. Verse 50, it says, He made a way to His anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made His own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and He led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. That's what He did for His sheep. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10 says, He's the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 says he's the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5 says he's the chief shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You ever get all stirred up? And you just need to settle down. Let's just settle down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have a dog and a cat in our house. And at least the dog will greet you when you come home and, you know, wants to interact to some degree and all that. But the cat, you talk about worthless. That cat is worthless. Honestly. Some cats are not. This one is. That cat does not do anything. He does not do anything. That cat does not provide anything, not to me. But I made a covenant to take ownership of that cat. And I did that for my beloved's sake. Honestly, and for my beloved's sake, I'll keep my covenant. I will keep my covenant. But oftentimes I come in, and this is not just a cute story. I'm being serious. Oftentimes I will come in from a difficult day and I'll look at that cat and think, oh, to be that cat. If I could just be that cat. That cat doesn't have a worry in the world. That cat is living in somebody else's house. You know, when I grew up, I wanted to move out, get out of Dad's house. Now all I want to do is go back in. You take care of things. I'm done. That cat is living in somebody else's house. It's his house, meaning it's his home, but his name is not on it. That cat is eating somebody else's food. It's his. It's all for him, but he didn't buy it. We give it to him. He is totally dependent. He's at the mercy of us to feed him and to keep him. That cat lays there basking. That cat is so happy he'll lay here for a while and there for a while, find a window with sun. That cat is basking in somebody else's warmth. And I think, oh, to just be that cat. Pretty much every time I think that, I realize and I say to myself, I am that cat. I really am that cat. That cat could worry all it wanted to about whether or not it's going to get fed its next meal, but it wouldn't change a thing. As a sheep of my shepherd, I am just like that cat. I can run rampant all I want to, but that cat never leaves our home, never goes outside. Kept by the power of our home. I'm worthless in my flesh. I know I am. I can't do anything to provide for myself. I can't offer my master anything of any value or any worth. But my master has made a covenant to take ownership of me. Ownership of us. He made a covenant to do that. And he has reserved a place in his home for us. And for his beloved's sake, for Christ's sake, he'll keep us. And he'll feed us with the food that he provides. And he will let us bask in his warmth. And he'll see to it that we don't have a care in his world, because he shouldered all of our burden for us. And he will shoulder all of our burden for us. All of our care can be rolled over to him. All of our care. Doesn't that sound so nice? For Christ's sake, we have been made to be the sheep of his pasture. And as his sheep, we can rest in him. And we can give thanks to him. And we can show forth his praise to all generations. Because he remembered not against us our former iniquities. He let his tender mercy speedily get in front of us. He helped us. He delivered us. He purged away our sins. And he did all that for the glory of his namesake. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. If we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. But if we have Christ, we have it all. Man, we have it all. Like Isaiah put it, he said, sheep in a fat pasture. That's what he called it. Oh, the blessing of being a sheep of the shepherd. We're going to close with this song, but just listen to these words. Savior, and pray this in your heart. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. That means it's your grass, but would you let us eat it? Would you prepare a place for us? Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock. From sin defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us. When we pray, thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. And then the last verse says, early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill, our hearts, our innermost being. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Please love us still. What a blessing to be a sheep of the shepherd. What a blessing. Because of his grace, we'll give him thanks forever. We'll sing forth his praise to all generations. Amen.